So let's go to the Lord. Going to start off in Luke 24 and then jump over to 2 Peter chapter 1. So I hope your knees are in good condition for the jump. All right. And you can take it, Mike, if you're watching. This is a spiritual jump. All right. Luke 24. I'm starting with verse 27. Where it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." So, the heartburn, it's a good heartburn. Any of y'all have ever had good heartburn?
No.
So if you came to this sermon today thinking you were going to learn about how to, like, you know, what to take for your heartburn, I'm telling you, this is a good one. This is a good one, that their hearts burned because that eternity that God has placed in our hearts, calling out to God, yearning for Him. It's almost like magnetically drawn back to God, that God wants us. The devil puts so many strongholds in the way. And when you're trying to minister and trying to get somebody saved, don't you feel like a lot of times what you're trying to do is just move the obstacles out of the way to help them to see what God is? I mean, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night proclaims knowledge. I mean, and you have His Word right there. And if you read the Word, if you can actually get somebody to read the Word, it is God's pure, holy Word. And it speaks to them. If you can actually get away all the distractions and all the excuses, just get them to read the Word. Give them a Bible. Say, "Please, just read it." It'll sing to them. Oh, the Bible's like, it's unlike any other book. It's not even good to be compared with any other book. Don't you just enjoy the scriptures? I mean, there's places that are so deep and prophetic, like, you know, prophetic, like prophecy. That's hard to understand. Like, we just finished studying the book Zechariah. And that was hard, some of those places. Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 John. That'll be easy. But even the hard places, filled with such mystery and such challenge, those prophetic scriptures that speak to us such powerful things. I mean, the things going on in our world today, I don't have all the interpretational answers as of yet. But I would tell you, read the book of Revelation, read the prophets, and when you're done with it, you say, "That didn't make sense to me at all." Read it anyway. Read it out loud. Because someday things will make more and more sense. But you have that, but you also have the plain and simple stuff of the people that the scriptures, you know, the scriptures are written by God. Because even the people God used as pens, why would they write the things they write? Why would the disciples write about how the disciples did? Why would the disciples write about how dull they were when Jesus kept on saying he's going to die and be risen from the dead, and they just didn't get it? Why would the disciples write about that kind of stuff? Why would anybody, unless it was God, writing the scriptures, put in Matthew 28 before the Great Commission, when Jesus is... I mean, listen to this. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. That's what Kurt Nedelman was doing. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We remember a lot of that stuff, but just the Bible's flagrant honesty, it's some doubted. But doesn't it also teach about what we were talking about in the sermon the previous week? Why didn't Jesus just say, hey, look, risen from the dead, in the flesh, let's celebrate, tell everybody. But why did he wait and explain to them the Old Testament scriptures? Because he was trying to build a real, this is what I think, he was trying to build a real solid foundation of faith, because a solid foundation of faith is really important. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It's by the word spoken. We speak salvation to each other. We speak salvation to the world. God speaks, and it is. He speaks into human hearts, and something is created. That's a speaking God. Look at Genesis chapter 1. God speaks, and it is. He's a speaking God. And that's how he builds faith. Now, certainly he uses the senses. He uses vision. The heavens are telling the glory of God. I can see it. I can see a beautiful sunset. I can see a beautiful sunrise. Somebody asked me about what I liked about spring yesterday. And I said, the spring greens. You see greens in springtime. You don't see the rest of the year, you know. It's just the brightness of it. It's almost like it's bursting forth with color. It's like he can't wait to get it all out. So Jesus is building a foundation of faith. Because, you know, sometimes we talk about eyes and we need that foundation of faith. Because our eyes, we need knowledge. And we're going to, look at 2 Peter now, because we're going to talk about knowledge. Because 2 Peter is big on knowledge. On what we know about God. We need to know things so we can understand things, because we don't understand what we're seeing without knowledge. You know? I can drink, one of my favorite drinks, absolute drink, is skim milk. I know. Some of you like whole milk, right? Like, whatever, if you drink it. Well, I don't drink whole milk because I just... The way I drink milk, if I drank whole milk, it'd be like tons of cholesterol for me. So I try to stay away from that. You know, but I like milk, and so I drink skim milk, you know, and I drink a lot of it, okay? Thank you for leaving me the skim milk. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I like drinking skim milk, but I can drink a big glass of milk, and if I look for a second, I can be like, ooh, there's a bug in my milk. And then I blink, and the floater passes on. Because at my age, there's little dark floaters every once in a while. And there's even some called cinereses, which is light floaters. That when that was first there, I was a little nervous because I didn't know what it was until I talked to somebody who knew what they were talking about and said, oh, that's nothing to worry about. You're just older. That's just what happens. You know, it just kind of, and this one kind of comes in, swirls around and goes. But I needed somebody to tell me things so I could understand what I was seeing. I didn't know what to believe. You know how it is with bad things, right? Like when the towers fell, how many of you, the first response was you just didn't believe it? didn't think that that's not American soil. That doesn't make sense. Are you joking? Why would somebody joke like that, you know? Maybe there's something that happened in your life so very wonderful you couldn't believe it. Still have a picture of my wife at her 40th birthday party. She didn't expect to have a party at the house too, and there was a little tea party house, and I could still see back through her throat because her mouth was open so wide. She didn't expect it. She was fully surprised. And sometimes even when you're fully surprised, it's like it's hard to believe. Even when you're seeing something, it's hard to believe. Well, Jesus built faith, and faith is so important because this is a faith in our awesome God. Simeon Peter, a servant. Notice Peter is humble here. He is Peter. He is the rock guy. But Simeon, he remembers who he was and who he is. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? Anybody who questions about Jesus' nature, this is one of the clearest exclamations, just clear, crystal clear. Talk about seeing something plain. Look at the words on the page. One of the clearest explanations that Jesus is God in the flesh. God in a body. Jesus. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, once again, Peter's saying, like, you know, he's realizing that, you know, he's the rock guy, but I'm just like all y'all. By the righteousness, who's it come from? It's not from us, it's from God. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, we know Jesus is God in the flesh. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He and the Father, one and the same. That there's other verses, even if you try to parse that out any other different way, but I think the clear reading of it is God and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we know Jesus is God? Well, I told you before, nobody says the things that Jesus said unless he would be the Lord. Also, he forgave sins. God does that. Not just sins against himself, which are ultimately the sins are against himself. But from your vantage point, he forgives sins from you and to another person. He forgives whatever he wants. He's God. He receives worship. He does all those miracles. He also walks on the water. And he calms the water. You can think, well, what is that? How does that mean anything? Well, according to, you look at the Bible in Psalm 107, in Psalm 89, and in Job verse 9, chapter 9, verse 8, it talks about things like walking on the water and calming water being things that the capital L-O-R-D does. And capital O-L-O-R-D is God. Awesome. I am. Burning bush. God. Covenantal God. God of strength and power throughout the ages. That's the God who calms the water and stills the raging seas and walks on the water. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Knowledge. We need that knowledge of him. We need to know about who Jesus is. Like, I just shared some things with you about Jesus, but if we had a discussion and not a sermon, maybe you'd even say some other things from the scripture that you can say, well, this is why I know Jesus is God. This is why, you know, you just need to have this in your heart and in your mind. Start developing your language that you know who Jesus is. You know, like, he is the bridegroom, we are the bride. Talking about a marriage relationship, if people ask me about who my wife is, they want to say, I want to get something for Lisa. Can you let me know? I can tell you what she likes and what she doesn't like. I have learned through the joy of it all, and I've learned through royally messing it up, too. So I've learned in a lot of different ways. But I know. because I know my wife experientially. I know who she is. I know what makes her tick. And what makes her upset. So, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Glory and excellence. We're called to. We're called to come up here, to be with God, to think His thoughts, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So the devil wants to keep you all muddled down in the world with the sinful desires and stuff like that. God says, hey, read my word, come up here, take my promises, start talking about them, claiming them, listen to my word. You know, if my child came up to me as a child and says, you know, Daddy, you said if I did this, I could do this. You know, some fathers, if their child just says, Daddy, they get almost anything. But I'm talking about a good, loving Heavenly Father who actually says, this is what I have for you. And if you say, Dad, Abba Father, this is what your word says. This is what you said. You think God's not going to listen to that? Gives glory to His name to answer His own words that you are putting in your mouth as His word back to Him. He loves them. He loves that you participate in His promises. You ever wonder how many blessings we don't have because we don't pray? I mean, certainly a lot of things we have to grab hold of faith. Faith is very important, right? How many things did Jesus do because He said, your faith has done these? He loves to see faith. God is God. He can do what He wants. But for His glory, for His kingdom, He loves faith. Why do we come together on a Sunday morning? You need to be with people who think like you. Because out there in the world, it's a mess, isn't it? You train yourself up by the back and forth on your phone the whole week. And you avoid the people of God. What does that do for your faith? What does that do for your prayers? What does that do for the blessing upon your life? I mean, some blessings are a little tougher. I mean, a daddy sometimes says, no, I want you to do this first, or I want you this. You know. Sometimes your dad makes it a little tough on you for your own good, allows it to be tough for your own good. But overall, doesn't your daddy just want you to be solid, strong, established, and happy, blessed, beatitude, your life of beatitude. Yeah, He wants you to be healthy, that excellence, that you find your purpose and you totally fill it up. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Now I memorized this in a different version. Add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That's how I memorized it. All those things. Don't you think you fell in love with Jesus, who's a loving God, and now you just love people? Doesn't it show you that there's supposed to be some sanctifying work going on in your life? That it's kind of like one branch. You know, I like to paint sometimes. And when I paint like a trunk. And then I bifurcate the tree. You know, like it splits off into one, two, three branches. And then that little branch splits off into another branch, another set of bifurcations, another splitting off, another. And it gets down to where you have like the buds and the blossoms and the leaves and everything. But that's what add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And the fruit of it all is like love. I see like little blossoms on my pear trees. And the one last year that didn't have much blossoms, now I got a whole bunch of blossoms. And now the one, I got a whole bunch of blossoms last year, not so much, maybe I didn't print it right. But hey, it's okay. I got blossoms. And you want love in your life, right? But do you want like a stupid, uninformed love, or do you want a godly love? Because we start with godly love and then we think we have it all. But how can we get into the mind of God? Right that way. Right at the very beginning. I mean, in truth, when we become saved, maybe you should just go out there and save all the world you can. But aren't there depths of love like depths in a marriage? Aren't there ways that even if I'm not obedient to the thought all the time, aren't there ways I can love Lisa a lot better than when I first married her because I know her better? And because of all the years we spent together? So God's love is perfect. God's love is beautiful. God's love is holy. God's love is strong. But our love, when we first come to God, it's been so informed by the world's kind of love, which is a feeling kind of love, that I don't think we know a lot about what love is. You know? Do you ever want to go up and talk to that newlywed couple and tell them what love is? And they're like, oh, we don't need any help. We just know, we're just gonna like skip through our whole life. We're perfect. We can teach you about love. We know. And you're like, yeah, right. Yeah. Let me sit you guys down. Let me tell you what love is like. Right? So add to your faith virtue. Virtue. This is kind of like the purpose, the goodness of like a mother being totally into her mothering, a father totally into his fathering, that you find a job that's a perfect job and you're totally into it, you know? That you're totally into the position, you know? Like I saw our trustee guy, because the one guy who helps out with the trustees kind of laid up for a while, and I see him going out and doing all these different things in the church and not griping or complaining, and it's like, that's good. I can say that's good because that's goodness, because that's a guy filling his position and enjoying it and doing it. And knowing he has the resources, the church behind him to support. But it's even greater with God because he's got a lot better, you know, he's got everything. I mean, we really technically as a church have everything too, but from our perspective, sometimes it seems a little rough. But when you have that place that you're in, that's virtue and it's goodness. And you have that good kind of heart towards it. With knowledge. Well, it's not just good to be in your place. It's good to have knowledge too. Know God. Know yourself. Know what, you know the scriptures. You read them. You fill yourselves up with them. Self-control. Know how to control yourself. Know how to say yes. Know how to get going fast. And know how to stop. And know how to be calm and be waiting for the Lord. Because he who believeth shall not make haste. You're waiting for God's timing on things. So you need all these things in progression. And self-control. Self-control. More like God control, you know. I mean, it's called self-control. It's the scripture word. So we go with the scripture word. But I'm saying your self-control is your like... You're not just flying by the seat of your pants and going by your feelings. You know, it takes self-control to get to church in the morning, doesn't it? I mean, how many times you just like, you know, you just don't feel like going? Like that old saying, you know, it's like, did you wake up grumpy this morning? No, I let him sleep in, right? Sometimes you just don't feel like going. I didn't feel like going when I was a kid. My dad would throw an ice cold wash rag in my face and say, get ready for church, boy, get out of bed. That wash rag would be, like, that's how he woke me up, because I was not an easy child to deal with sometimes. But he got me there, over and above my feelings, he got me there. And he was my self-control until I learned it myself, and then now I make other people go. And then steadfastness, that's a long obedience in the same direction. That's just doing the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again and again. You know? You know how it is. January 2nd, you get out there and you run 5 miles or you do something astounding, and then you're like, the next day you step on the scale and like, well, that didn't work. They might as well give it up until next year, see if it worked better that year. But no, it's a long obedience in the same direction makes the results happen, right? Steadfastness. Steadfastness, godliness. Like, you're Think in God's thoughts. You are so filled with knowing who you are in the faith. You have that goodness of taking your station and not going beyond it, not grasping for things that are not your own, just the goodness of being satisfied in Him, knowledge filled up with all information about God you can get, self-control, you're learning all that, you're learning all the stops and all the goes and the steadfastness and continuing on, and then you grow into this place where people go to you because you're almost like Jesus. The words seem like they're coming from God. You would totally deny anybody calling you that because of the humility that goes along with the Christian life. But there are people in your life that remind you of Jesus, aren't there? I hope there are. But the godliness just kind of flows with them. And the brotherly affection, and you share that with each other, and love. Love blossoms out like a deep kind of love, a deep, enduring kind of love that's informed. Through all the Bible studies that you've had and all the experiences you've had talking with people, blessing people, walking with them through their struggles. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, I'm reading on, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to be ineffective and unfruitful, right? Everybody wants to bear fruit. Sometimes that fruit's inside, sometimes it's outside, but that fruit can be the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it can also be the fruits of a disciple coming to Jesus or a person coming to be discipled or a disciple continuing on in discipleship. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when you're making your calling and election sure, you just kind of like always touching back to faith. You know, faith is the undergirding thing. Faith is so important. That's why we talked about it last week. Faith is so important. I remember years ago when they said about Tiger Woods, we went back and started learning like the basics of golf again. Just to kind of go back. It's kind of like making your calling and election sure. You know, at that point you knew that you were maybe the greatest or one of the greatest golfers in the world, but you have to go back. Because you need that encouragement. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So I have written, like as a little notation besides these verses, like, I know, Dad, because the scripture is perfect. And I wanted my children to know it, and I wanted them to know how to live rightly. And so I would tell them things again and again. I would repeat things to them. I would tell them about their relationships, I would tell them about their thoughts or their attitudes or whatever, or how they even said they were sorry to each other, and trying to make sure they were really repentant if they were towards each other and that they were getting along well and everything. And they would tell me, I know dad. And then I had this little verse I memorized that I talked back to them when they said, I know dad. I said, I will always remind you of these things as long as I am in the tent of this body. I would quote that little verse to them from this passage of scripture. And that's why, just as a side note, I'll move it down to the bottom there, but just as a side note to the perfect Word of God, just to remind me what it meant in my own life, that it was a way that I reminded my children that my job as a discipler, just like Peter was trying to disciple people, my job was to continue to remind them of something. You know, some pastors keep their sermons like typed out and in a file, and they blow them off, and they use them again, maybe even the next year or something. I don't keep any of that stuff. If I have a nice story somewhere, maybe I'll keep it somewhere in a file, or a nice historical, you know, allusion to something, you know. But I feel like if I repeat something, good. And if you say, well, I've heard you say that before. We're getting a rerun. You know, you're warming up leftovers today. No, I'm looking at it like, if you heard it before and you remember it, praise the Lord. I hope I say things enough that it eventually sinks in, and that you're not just seeing the newest thing, and the next week you'll see the next newest thing. No, but that it's, by repetition, you're remembering what I say, and that you can pass it on to others, maybe as a story you shared to help somebody else in their journey to sanctification. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." So right there, he's talking about what? He's talking about the transfiguration, right? When they saw Jesus on the holy mountain with Moses and Elijah. So, and after 6 days, it says in Matthew 17, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter, right there, had seen something wonderful, but he needed a little knowledge, didn't he? Because it's kind of like he needed knowledge because he was seeing something, but he didn't understand exactly what he was seeing. He was seeing Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus, perhaps encouraging him for what was to come. But they were seeing them talking to God in the flesh. And Peter needed to know that. So there needed to be some teaching, some knowledge, which Peter's talking about here. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And we have the prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, this Bible is not the word of man. It is the word of God. That's why I use the illustration of like a cup of pens on your desk, you know? I mean, when you're filling out your forms to send in to like some government agency or some place that some insurance, I don't know, maybe not insurance, but you know, I don't know, anything you're filling out, some important paper that you don't want to mess up, you're probably not going to get out your felt tip or your magic markers or whatever they call them, you know, You're probably not going to get out your highlighters to write, but you have different things for different things. If you're writing a letter, a love letter, you might use, you know, the very fine point, you know. And if you're writing a letter to somebody who really annoys you, you might get out like the big Sharpie and just whatever. Although as far as it depends on you, you can live at peace with everybody, right? But people are pens, and God picked who he picked. He picked unschooled fishermen to do miracles so people could say they know these people were with Jesus. And he's picked some unschooled fishermen, like, you know, I'm not sure how schooled they were, but you know what they said in Acts, the unschooled fishermen? It was just common people. But he picked them so Jesus would shine. And he picks them so God will shine. And he picks who he picks to use as the pen to write his scripture. So we know the Bible is the Word of God, and it comes from God. His interpretation of how he sees things, and we can take his interpretation of how he sees things and trust him. It's about God, and God is awesome. God is amazing. And God wants to continue to do good things through his church. Let him move you on from strength to strength. Let him add to your faith all those things on the way to true love. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on with him. Don't lay down your sword. It is the word of God. Keep those precious promises. Hold them in your heart. Right here at the front of my Bible, I have my little black book. My little black book and my comb, which you can tell by my hair, I hardly ever use. But I have this little black book that just has the scriptures that I've fought with. Not that I fought with the scriptures, but I used to fight. Promises that I've claimed. So I can stay on the straight and narrow and keep my mind right and take every thought captive for him, you know? So you continue to go on with God too. So that you can grow up in knowledge. So that faith eventually shows itself in real, deep, honest love. Real love. A love like of a marriage. That's a good marriage. Okay? In Jesus' name.